You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a
prison.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rumble or band.video, vigilante.tv, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing support over the years. We're now 5 years into this experiment. It's the best thing I've ever done. I'm happy that you guys are a part of it. I hope you've rated the show. If you haven't done that, if you think we've earned 5 stars, we'll take it as we fight this ridiculous algorithm battle to suppress information that you're actually looking for. If you want to connect with me, the website is macroaggressions.io. Hopefully you're getting your news over at activistpost.com or naturalblaze.com. And if you want to follow me on social media, go to X at macroaggressions, where I argue with leftists all day long that may or may not be robots. We appreciate our sponsors. They make this show happen. Van Man is one of the newest sponsors that we've got. They make fantastic products. I'm telling you right now, tooth powder is the way to go. They've got it. It's obviously fluoride free. There's none of that nonsense in there. It'll change your dental game considerably. I'm just bummed I didn't figure out about it sooner. But if you're interested, you can go to vanman.shop and take a look at all their products that they've got. Tallow and honey balm, tallow and coconut soap. I've got a bar of it right here. This is the ingredients. Grass-fed beef tallow. This is for the soap. Grass-fed beef tallow, coconut oil, distilled water, kaolin clay, grapefruit oil. That's it. That's it. That's the soap. They're making all natural products over there with a very few ingredients, which I think we like. Also, from an ideological standpoint, go follow their X account. They're fantastic, man. They get it. That's why they're the newest sponsor of this show, because I think that I can with pride suggest their products because I think they're doing it the right way. Their vanilla body butter is amazing. So if it's something that you're interested in, if you want it, if you're looking for better lotion, better soap, better tooth powder, all these things, go take a look at vanman.shop. Check it out. The packaging is good too. Let's not discount that. It looks great. And if you find something that you like, the discount code on your way out the door is macro. Also, we've got My Patriot Supply. They are back. I'll tell you what, man, this is something that you've got to have. You've got to have yourself a couple containers of storable food. I have mine. I got mine a couple years ago. It lasts for 25 years. You're not going to, it's not going to go bad, not for a long, long time. And it's one of those things that you would rather be, a year early than a day late. And we saw like a dry run during COVID with toilet paper. And, toilet paper, you can figure it out. But when it's food, it's going to be a big problem. So if you're listening to this, you already know that we've got, major uncertainty on the horizon. It's good to have some food. You get the two buckets that'll keep you going for like 3 months. It's enough to keep you alive for a while. So check out the best thing to do. They built a landing page specifically for us. So you can go over there and see what they've got. They're running sales all the time. It's preparewithmacroaggressions.com. The link is down in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. It's easy. Go over there and get yourself sorted out. If there's somebody in your life, like your family, that maybe thinks you're a little nutso and you want to make sure that they're prepared, you don't have to tell them this is for, World War III or the apocalypse or anything like that. Just tell them it's for, the next time there's a hurricane in your area or maybe a tornado or earthquake, just in case, better to be safe than sorry and have some of this. So you can drop ship it. You just go in yourself, buy it, and have it sent to your family members if they're, wherever they are. And they'll get two amazing looking, well done buckets that they can just put in their basement or they can put in, under their cabinet somewhere and store it away and forget about it. But at least you'll know that they have it. You'll feel good about yourself. You'll know that they're taken care of. So if you're interested, preparewithmacroaggressions.com is the place to go and find that. My Patriot Supply has been fantastic. They've been in business a long time. I've got buckets of their stuff. I had some at my mom's place that I had sent to her a few years ago. Better to be safe than sorry. So go check it out. Well, let's get into the business, or now that we got the business out of the way, let's get into the real meat of this, which is the newest program that the Trump administration has rolled out. And surprise, it's horrible. I know you're very shocked to learn that a duplicitous cunt like Marco Rubio is behind what would a targeted deportation program that Heinrich Himmler would be proud of. This is a disgusting stain on America, but it's perfectly on brand with the Trump administration, and it's selectively targeting people. It is only going after a certain group of people, right? For now, keyword, for now. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the program. We're going to get into a little bit about who is behind it, the usual suspects, of course. The relationship with Silicon Valley, which is a crucial component of this, and also what this means for us moving forward, because it's not going to be limited to people protesting about what's going on in Gaza on college campuses. That's where it starts. That's not where this thing is going to end. It's easy for us to extrapolate out, and so that's what we'll do. We'll take a look at the details behind this. It's alarming. It's the beginning of a program that I think, it'll be weaponized for sure. It will be mismanaged. It will be abused like all these policies. And eventually it'll be turned on us. Okay. So this is what's going on. It's a program. It's called Catch and Revoke. Catch the people and then revoke their visas. That's the plan. Now, what's hilarious about this is that if you wanted to catch a bunch of people and throw them out of the country, we just had 10 million of them come across the southern border in the last 4 years. There's plenty of people that if you want to catch and throw them out, revoke their green cards, they don't have green cards. They're illegal. Oh, okay. Well, let's not prioritize that. Let's focus on Columbia University, where students are rightly protesting against the behavior of Israel towards the Palestinians. Let's round them up. That's the priority. That's got to be the priority. These kids on college campuses are going to destroy this country. Never mind the murderous rapists that Venezuela emptied their entire prison. They emptied not only their prisons. This is brilliant, actually. They emptied their insane asylums as well, and then sent the people to the border in Mexico, dropped them off, and said, enjoy America. So we could focus on those people, but we're not. We could use AI and social media and all of the dystopian technological advances to find these people, but we're not. What we're focusing on is making sure that any criticism of Israel is illegal, because that's the priority here. That's got to be the priority. We can't have you talking. God forbid we get you guys talking, right? So here's something that is important to understand. And they don't really talk about it too much, but I will. The State Department program that allows people to come into the United States through these visas, student visas, work visas, or whatever, a variety of different forms of visas. One of the things that they do is they collect the social media information of those people who are applying for visas. Did you know that? Did you know that's part of the application process? Now, you could have your social media account, give it to them as you know, on your visa application, come into the country, delete that account, start up a new one, and go on with your life. And I'm sure some people do that. But I think it's important to recognize that that they're watching these people from the beginning. Now, if you're on a visa, you've got nothing to hide, right? You're going through the proper channels and process to come into this country legally, or you know, to the extent that you can, and you're doing it the so-called correct way. So, I'm a bit surprised, not really, but concerned that this is the priority. That if we're going to rank our concerns about people coming into the country and then doing things that are very un-American, why is it that the Palestinian protesters are ranked number one on this? Why are they the only ones getting thrown out here? Because I would probably rank the rapists and crazy people as the priority here. With my logical brain, you know, coming at this from a realistic perspective. Let's, if we have to choose somebody to throw out of here, how about the criminals? How about we get them? Well, maybe a case can be made that they're working on that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not of the belief that the right hand and the left hand are disconnected from one another. So I think that a lot of what Biden was installed to do, Trump won't undo, because this is all part of a grand plan, and it's not accidental, and it's not limited to the United States, though we have a different set of laws than what's going on in Europe. But once you give the State Department your social media credentials, and I don't mean passwords or anything like that, they're talking about, you know, what your handle is on Twitter or Facebook or whatnot. They then use artificial intelligence to scan these accounts for keywords and phrases, you know, like Free Palestine. That would be one of them, right? And this is not a new program. This has been going on for the past 7 years, and they are averaging 14 million people per year are coming in on these programs and getting scanned. Which is a lot. It's a lot. So they're watching these accounts, and then what they're doing is they're not necessarily immediately going and rounding these people up. What they're actually waiting for is for them to build out sort of a network so that they can watch who these people are talking to, who's in their inner circle, who they communicate with, what groups they're a part of, what Facebook groups they're a part of, or what they're talking about, who they interact with online. And then doing what they've been doing with the Patriot Act, which is using a two-hop system, which is like anybody that this person is talking to, go monitor that person. And then anybody that person's talking to, monitor them as well. When they say two-hop, it's not just you, it's the person you're talking to and the person they're talking to, which could encompass almost everybody at some point. You know, you're two deviations away. This is a, you know, this is a, it you know, the math starts to become very frightening at a certain level. And the majority of this, though the tracking started 7 years ago, the real crackdown happened after October 7th, 2023, with the Israel and Gaza situation and college campus protests. This was initially the topic of interest for the people inside the administrations, both Biden and Trump, to keep an eye on, because they're both utterly and hopelessly controlled by Israel. So the policy, the problem that Israel sees is the same whether Biden was in there or Trump. If there's any sort of criticism of their policy, a foreign government's policy inside America, then they want the United States to remove the First Amendment, the right to free speech, from the population. I'm going to repeat this. A foreign government who is engaged in a genocide, who is bombing women and children, wants the American government to make sure that American citizens don't use their constitutional right to free speech. And if they do, they want them deported. Make sense? We got it? That's what's going on. That's not what the media is saying, but that is what is happening. So obviously, this is just the beginning. And I would like for you to imagine the implications of normalizing this thought police. You know, it starts with criticism of Israel today. It expands out, oh, I don't know, criticism of a central bank digital currency, any sort of anybody asking questions about the veracity of COVID, somebody digging into the effectiveness of vaccines. Use your imagination. It can go anywhere, right? There's only one source of truth, and that is us. Remember when Jacinda Ardern said that in New Zealand? We are the arbiters of truth. If you don't hear it from us, it's not true. What are you talking about? This is craziness. But this is the direction that we're going. And the State Department has already brought in the Department of Homeland Security, because the homeland is a battlefield. We'll get to that in a little bit, as well as the Justice Department. So this isn't just, I mean, look, it's bad enough that you've got Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, talking about this deportation program, ramping it up, cheerleading it enthusiastically, and targeting one particular group of people, because he is completely controlled by Benjamin Netanyahu, utterly and forever. Compromised in every way that you can be compromised, as is Donald Trump. They've got the goods on all these people. And if you don't think that they've got the goods on RFK Jr., watch that song and dance. Anytime you see Rabbi Shmuley in a picture with somebody, it's the same picture as when Alex Soros takes a picture next to a politician. This is, hey, look at my trophy. Look at what I just bought. I bought this dipshit representative from Wisconsin. Look at, I'll take a picture with him, right? Or you see the pictures of Rabbi Shmuley with Tulsi Gabbard. She's compromised, of course. She's from the psychological operations division of the Army. So she's compromised. She works for them. RFK Jr., works for them. And because the Health and Human Services director came out and said that the greatest threat to Health and Human Services in the United States is anti-Semitism. Now, you can take all day long and show your work as much as you would like, but I'm never going to be able to figure that one out because it's nonsensical. This is the performance. This is, we own you. You will go in front of the cameras and you will do the dance. You will take the picture with Shmuley in front of the painting of the Chabad guy. You will take that because that is a symbol to the rest of the world that we own your fucking ass. And you will do exactly what we say. And if you don't, we'll do to you what we did to your uncle. Blow his brains out in broad daylight. So, you know, the irony, back to the protests on the campus, the irony of a student-written op-ed as a threat to our national security, but planning to bomb the poorest country on earth in a Signal group chat is not. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. The mental gymnastics performed by the American Empire would give Bella Caroli another gold medal if he were their coach. I mean, it's something else. It's quite a mindfuck. So this isn't just some concept that may or may not be rolled out. 300 student visas have already been revoked. Already. And they're just getting warmed up. This number is going to get bigger and bigger. And as it gets bigger, you will hear less and less about it. The number, that is. Not the roundups. They want that known. They want that on the lead story on the nightly news. They want you to see people getting led away in handcuffs, whether you're in Columbia University or you're at UCLA. They want that because that's a chilling effect. You silence criticism by making examples of a few people. And then the word gets out. And then you have to make a calculation. Do I want to say this or do I want to go to my econ class? You know? Do I want to stay here at this school? I worked my ass off to get into this school. I'm 3 years in. I hate what's going on in Gaza. Do I want to stand up and speak out about it? I mean, I do. I want to. But maybe I don't because, you know, that guy I used to know, he's fucking deported back to God knows where. So this is a calculation that is already being made by people. Here's a quote. This is from Abed Ayoub, who is the head of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. He said this, talking about the student visa revocations and the implementation of catch and revoke. He said, Americans won't like this. They'll view this as capitulating free speech rights for a foreign nation. And he is correct. He is absolutely correct. Americans do not like this. This is a massive miscalculation by both Trump, his administration, and Israel as well. This is not going to end well for them. So let's talk about who is behind this. Well, as Corey Hughes would say, them. It's always them, right? So who is them? Well, it's Israel in a broad sense. It's currently Netanyahu, though he is on thin ice in his country and within his administration. He understands that the minute this one-sided war ends, then he'll be taken into custody and he'll spend the rest of his life in prison. He is a wanted war criminal internationally. He is an international war criminal. The prime minister, the head of Israel. In a long line of international war criminals that were the heads of Israel as well. A reminder, Menachem Begin, I think he was the sixth prime minister of Israel, founder of the Likud party, is known as the godfather of international terrorism. Now, they at one point called him a terrorist, and he corrected them and said, no, I am the godfather of international terrorism. He wanted that title. That's not me putting that title on him. That's him correcting the record. Get it straight. I'm the king of it all. So in some regards, Netanyahu is just following a long list of international terrorists. And he is, of course, one. Not even my opinion. International criminal courts has issued arrest warrants for him. There are certain countries that he cannot go to because he will be arrested on site. And he's behind this. He's most definitely behind this. You can watch the videos of him from the early 80s where he's doing the, I don't know, Meet the Nation or whatever the TV show is. And he's talking about, he's saying that Israel controls Congress. That's in the early 80s. Nothing has changed. And nothing's changed with him either. He's still there. But deflecting criticism draws attention, you know, and this is the whole point. This is image management going on. It's public relations, but they've brought this on themselves by their behavior. This isn't that, you know, one morning Americans just woke up and decided that they were tired of Israel's act. No, this has been going on for a very, very long time, and the people are noticing. And they can't have the noticers. It's a huge problem. But there's not enough PR in the world that's going to fix Israel's public relations crisis. Because as long as there are t-shirts out there that the IDF wears with a picture of a pregnant Palestinian woman with a target crosshairs on them that says, one shot, two kills, you can do as much PR as you want. You can't unsee that. When you see that t-shirt, when you see them flaunting that, you go get all the PR agencies that you want. It's not going to work. So who's behind this? On a local level, well, it's the usual suspects, the Anti-Defamation League, who spends the vast majority of their time defaming people, and the Southern Poverty Law Center, who has their own set of problems. There's a bunch of rape going on in there, or accusations of rape, I should say. There's a bunch of fuckery. They've been suing each other inside. The people that work there have been suing the management for a long, long time. These groups have a ton of money sitting offshore. I think the last time I saw Southern Poverty Law Center, like $140 million in some account somewhere. So they've got the budget and they've got the network, and they can lean on the people within their network to shut this down. And of course, when you take a look at control of the media, this isn't some anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. This is just visual observations of the people that are running the media. They're protecting them. They want this. They definitely want any sort of criticism of Israel out. And as long as they're in control of the major news networks, that's how it'll be. And it's not just the major news networks. It's that subset, too. It's the mainstream alternative media that David Icke has been talking about, the Daily Wire. Go on the Daily Wire and be critical of Israel. See how that lasts. See if you get invited back. See if they cut that segment. Of course they will. It's a Zionist propaganda outfit created to further the desires and wishes of the state of Israel. It has no bearing on Americans. I mean, it is in no way, shape, or form there to inform or educate Americans about what's going on. It is strictly propaganda. The fact that they're having meltdowns at the Daily Wire, where they're firing a bunch of people and cutting the children's component, and you know, have fired 25% of their staff. Well, good. I'm glad, but I don't think that outfit is going away. I've heard rumors that they're consulting with bankruptcy lawyers. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Why would they go bankrupt? They have a never-ending supply of money from Tel Aviv. So, we've also got the Center for Countering Digital Hate out of London. There's a group that's been actively going after David Icke, and that's a huge problem. Obviously, it's a problem in general, but I mean, you know, you're on my radar if you're going after David Icke. I'd love to see their reasoning behind it, because he's critical of the policies of Israel, among other things. Right, he's critical of the policies of the multiculturalism that's being foisted upon London. You know, it's not accidental. It's part of an agenda. And when you dig into who is running the agenda, it always leads back to, as Corey would say, them. Sorry, it just does. So, when you look at on the higher levels, the Trump, Zelensky, Putin group, there is a common denominator. There's this belief that the three of them are fighting each other. Yeah, sure, there's a war, Russia versus Ukraine. But this is theater. At the highest levels, all three of them are Chabadniks. They are part of the group, all three. So when you come to this realization that the world that is projected to us is theater. You have to ask who's pulling the strings. And when you find that these main characters, it'd be like if all three of these people were actors, they are, and they all had the same agent, or they were all at the same agent, like they were all at CAA, or they were all at William Morris Endeavor or whatever. And you go, these guys are all fighting? Wait, these guys are fighting? They're trying to kill each other? How come they all have Ari as their agent? How come Ari Emanuel is all their agent? It's like, because it's theater. Because this is a show. That's what you're being shown. And in this particular case, it isn't necessarily that they're all controlled by the same agency. It's that they're all controlled by the same Jewish agency, which is Chabad. That's just what it is. And the quicker you understand that, the sooner this will make sense. And, the common denominator here in all of the, I would put the British crown in that category as well. When you see people like Keir Starmer out there talking about this, this is anybody advocating for the removal of free speech is the bad guy in these scenarios, just so you know, just so that we're clear on this, that there, if somebody is coming to you and saying, you can't talk about that, it doesn't matter what their reason is, they're the bad guy. If you are advocating for the removal of free speech in a foreign country that isn't even your country, you are most definitely on the wrong side of history. America has been doing it for years around the globe. You know, I mean, takes one to know one, right? This isn't something that Israel developed. The American empire has been controlling speech in foreign countries for a very long time. If you start talking about the wrong things, if you start talking about this, we will regime change you, or we will bomb you into submission. That's just how it has been. Having people like Ramisia Ozturk, are you familiar with this? This is the, she's a doctoral student at Tufts, supporting Hamas. You might have seen the video. Walking down the street in Boston and getting black bagged. People come up to her, don't identify themselves. A couple men come up to her, grab her, throw her in the back of a van. I mean, is she about to go to the front lines in Ukraine? What are we doing here? Because I'm seeing the same behavior going on there. This is a slippery slope. This is extremely dangerous. Now, you may be ideologically aligned with what that you want these Palestinian protesters to be thrown out of college camp. Let's say you disagree with me completely on this and you think that they should be thrown out. Okay. Well, where does it end? You know, it's criticism of Israel today. It's criticism of Trump tomorrow. It's criticism of the vaccine the week after that. It's criticism of your school teaching trans ideology. And we already saw that. We already saw that with the Biden administration. When you have the FBI putting parents on a government watch list because they were critical and showing up to school board meetings about what was happening in their school. Not these parents have a point, let's look into what's going on at the school. No, not that. It's how dare you criticize the government schools. And if you criticize the government schools, we'll put you on a watch list and we're going to watch you. And if you do it again, guess what? Maybe you're not on a green card. Maybe it's much worse. Maybe you're an enemy combatant on the battlefield. We'll talk about that in a second. But this is bad for optics. It's a bad idea in general, but it's extremely bad for optics. When you are taking people off of the streets and it's on video, of you grabbing them, pulling them into a van and disappearing them, deporting them. She was taken by ICE. They didn't identify themselves as being from ICE, didn't show any sort of badges or anything like that. For thought crime, for speaking out. What about Mahmoud Khalil? He was known as the negotiator at the protests at Columbia. I don't even want to say he was leading it, but they said he was a negotiator. They're trying to deport him. The Gestapo is trying to deport him. Interesting component to this. He is a legal U.S. resident. He isn't here on a green card. He isn't one of the 10 million people that came across the southern border. If you come across the southern border and you're lighting cars on fire and doing all that, of course you should be taken away in handcuffs. right? That you should expect that. That's not what's going on here. This guy's married to an American woman. Yes, he's born in Syria. He's married to an American woman, and he is a legal U.S. resident. What are you going to do? Deport him back to Syria? Well, that's what the Gestapo wants to do. And they will, because there is nobody standing up to them. This is coming from the president. It's coming from the president's boss in Tel Aviv. Not that he needs to be strong-armed into this. Trump's on board with this. Remember, he's also the guy that says, you take away the guns, take away the guns early, deal with due process later. That's Trump. So he's not coming to save you. He's not a defender of human rights. He's not somebody who's a protector of the American way. No. Because if he was, he'd be interested in free speech and your right to carry a gun. And he does not like either one of those. So Israel demanded that the USA get rid of this kid for, what kid? I don't know. I mean, he's a married man. He's an adult. Speaking out at Columbia University, but they said that he was, quote, advocating for violence and terrorism. Really, really advocating for violence and terrorism. Every accusation is a confession from these people. It's always that way. And that he, quote, posed significant national security concerns. How so? Back to my point about this, the irony of an op-ed written by a student is a threat to national security, but plotting murder on a Signal group chat is not. Where's the consistency? Again, it leads me back. Whenever I see this, it's utter hypocrisy. It's the reason why I wrote my third book. So as if this isn't bad enough, the criteria for detention is so low these days that all it takes to get you on this list of the 300 that have already been deported, or that have already gone through this process, all you have to do, you don't have to, it's not firebombing, it's not taking UCLA hostage, you know, when they did that thing a while ago. No, it's not any of that stuff. I mean, obviously that will get you on the list for sure, but it's not limited to that. All you have to do is say that you were a supporter of the Hezbollah leader, Hassan Nasrallah. That's all you have to do. You have to say, I support him. I support him standing up for his Palestinian people, or Lebanese people, Arabs of the world. You know, I mean, he stands up for everyone. He was murdered in Beirut by the Israelis. And if you show any sort of support for him, then that's enough to get you deported from the U.S. these days. So, and what is alarming, but not surprising, is that the Christian Zionists are typically in favor of deporting these pro-Palestinian people, the protesters that are out there. So Christian Zionists, totally brainwashed, completely captured, utterly embarrassing. You've been had. If you're a Christian Zionist, you've been had. I'm sorry. You need to go back to the drawing board with your religion and get some clarity on this, because you are serving a foreign nation with an ideology that despises you and is using you. You're being used. And supporting this makes you the bad guy, just so you know. Let's move on to the role of Silicon Valley, because I said I would get to this, and it's important. It's a huge part of this. The Sand Hill Road gang is at it again. You know, those VC firms in the Bay, in Mountain View, and this is a dangerous group. There's a lot of money flowing into their. I was talking to Chad Girls about this because he used to be in Silicon Valley. He does not give them as much credit as I do. He is of the belief that there's a lot of people that are kind of unqualified in Silicon Valley, and that actually it isn't quite as, you know, it's not filled with as much talent as you have been led to believe. May or may not be true, but the truth is that it doesn't matter, because the companies that currently exist are already partnering with the empire. In fact, they were created by the empire themselves. So the role of social media companies in handing over data like Facebook, Instagram, X, well documented. Now, with regard to X Twitter, back when it was Twitter, the problems that they had was that they were working with the feds so tightly that Elvis Chan was sending people birthday cards, you know, inside Twitter. Hey, happy birthday, Bob! I've been working. When you get a birthday card from your FBI agent, that's not good. That means that this relationship is far too cozy for my liking. So, you've heard the term freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. Do you know who invented that term? Do you know who came up with that one liner? The Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. Right. So, I'm concerned about the PayPal mafia for a variety of reasons, but the limitations on free speech is one of them because it starts there. You know, before they round you up and put you into camps, they monitor what you're doing, what you're talking about, who you're interacting with, what's on your radar. And the PayPal mafia is building out this control grid. So that would be Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, David Sachs. You know, this is technocracy rising. It's happening right in front of our eyes. Now, the decision-making component of the bombing campaign that Israel has been running on Gaza, the brains behind that operate, the computer brains behind that operation is Palantir. And once again, not my opinion on this, Palantir is on the record saying, we're running this. They're deciding how many terrorists are in this building and how, you know, let's drop a bomb on this building. Well, there's 70 apartments in that building, and you think there's one guy hiding in the basement? Doesn't matter. The Palantir computer has made the decision that this is what you're going to do, that this is the most logical target. And in some regards, it's taken the human element of accountability out of this, where the guy just says, this isn't my calculation. I'm not making the call on this. The computer is saying to do it. And so if the computer is saying to do it, then it's you're just one more unit detached away from responsibility, because it's not a guy who's in charge of the targeting information. It's an algorithm. And the role of Palantir in abducting protesters is gross, because this isn't just being used to figure out which building you want to hit in Gaza. This is also being used for facial recognition, social media accounts, creating profiles. This is what Palantir does. It's a massive large language model AI company that's crunching tons of data, most of it useless, doesn't really factor too much, and creating profiles of people. So you've got, and of course, who's running it? Alex Karp. And what does Alex Karp believe? Well, Alex Karp believes the same thing for humanity that Harari believes at the World Economic Forum. We've talked about this before. I've done shows on Palantir and how dangerous they are. Alex Karp is a, you know, probably a pedophile. The word's on the street, not good about him. They've all got this sort of ideology, you know. If you're a homosexual with no kids, right? Maybe that's just your life plan. That's fine. Whatever. It is just going to be tough for me to ever accept that somebody who does not have any stake in the future, meaning kids, grandchildren, whatnot, is going to care about the world as much as people who do. That's just logic. That's just a calculation. And when these guys get together, they have no children. Peter Thiel, Alex Karp, Harari, they have no stake in the outcome. And that's one thing. If you're just a passive participant in this life, but when you are running the show and making these calculations and you have no blood in the game, you have no kids, I think these are the wrong people to be making these decisions. And they're the ones programming the computers in order to get the outcome that they want. So let's just extrapolate out a little bit. Fine. You don't want these people protesting against the the war in Gaza because, you know, you think it's, you know, you think that they're doing the right, you think that Israelis are doing the right thing. Fine, whatever. Okay. Let's say we just disagree on that one. Okay. But what about the future? How big of a role do you want these players to have? How involved will Eric Schmidt be, head of artificial intelligence for the Pentagon? What about Larry Ellison, who wants to rush to market experimental artificial intelligence mRNA vaccines to, air quotes, treat cancer? What about Bill fucking Gates? How big of a role do you want him to have? Because, you know, he's a co-founder of Microsoft, and Microsoft is the largest investor in OpenAI. So if we're using AI to make calculations on what speech is and isn't allowable, we know about his long-running romance with the vaccine industry, then can't you just extrapolate out and see what this will look like? It's Palestine today. It's vaccines tomorrow. It's whether or not you want to transition your kid the week after that. You know, do we have privacy in an increasingly digital world? What about free speech? What about the Constitution? Where does the, you know, I don't get all weepy about that, about the Constitution, but it is a unique document that sets America apart. Now, it's been trampled upon by these statist lunatics for a long, long time. But conceptually, how it was intended is that you get to say what you want to say. And if it's critical of the government, then it's critical of the government. You still get to say it. Might not mean that anything is done about it, but you are at least allowed to say it. Get it off your chest. What happens when you can't? What happens when you could, but you make a calculation that you can't or that you shouldn't? The most devious form of censorship is self-censorship. The things that you might have said but didn't. So you'll suppress it. You'll live a life of regret. You'll have to make some calculations on whether or not you let your feelings be known or you keep them to yourself. And that has long-lasting impacts. And that's going to be driven by technology. So the question is, the technology exists. It's already there. We can't put the genie back in the bottle. But who are you going to be in charge of, put in charge of controlling it? I mean, because I just mentioned Eric Schmidt, Larry Ellison, Bill Gates. None of those guys are good options. But they're all taking orders from somebody else in Tel Aviv. Now, it may be BB today and somebody else tomorrow. But it doesn't change the fact that the wrong people are weaponizing this technology. This technology is dangerous enough as it is, but it's also like a gun. You can put it in the hands of one person and they use it to defend their family. You put it in the hands of another person and they murder your family. So it's not the gun. It's not the technology necessarily. It's who's in charge of it and who's programmed it. Who's collecting and managing all the data? Who? We know it's being collected. We've got Meta. We've got Google. We've got OpenAI, which is essentially Microsoft. Where are the guardrails? Who's in charge of the guardrails? When the person in charge of artificial intelligence for the Pentagon is Eric Schmidt, who was running Google Alphabet for a decade and is a multi-billionaire with some questions about his past as well. Wrong person. I had this thought. What if Elon builds a self-driving bus to deport all these illegals to the border? Is that something that we're going to see? Is that next on? I mean, he's hanging around with Trump. He's building self-driving cars. They're working on big rigs, Tesla big rigs. Is the next thing just a self-driving bus? I shouldn't even joke about this. Give these guys any sort of ideas. What about J.D. Vance? Again, what about the role in this whole thing? We talk about Trump, of course, but Vance was groomed by Peter Thiel and company. Not just sit there, or not just berate Zelensky, though that was funny to watch. They didn't install him as the vice president to sit there and do nothing. He's going to be doing something, whether in this role or maybe 4 years from now, if he decides that he's going to run for president, which I'm assuming he will, maybe he becomes president. Oh, talk about a seed round of funding, getting J.D. Vance early on before he becomes vice president, before he becomes future president. for Peter Thiel, I mean, of all the investments he's made, and that's the guy that spent $500,000 to buy 10% of Facebook, turned that into $1 billion. His investment in J.D. Vance might turn out to be the best one he's ever made, because he went to Paris and for the summit there and was pushing technocracy the whole way. And the entire theme of his speech in France was that he wanted to remove excessive AI regulation. Just got to get rid of these guardrails, right? We've got to free this technology up to do whatever it needs to do. So, but a follow-up question, I suppose, would be, you know, I've asked who's collecting the data. Follow-up question is, where is it being stored? Is it in Bluffdale, Utah, at the NSA's facility? Probably not. Maybe there's a copy of it there. Is it on an Amazon web server somewhere? Huh? Maybe. Is it being piped directly to Tel Aviv? Possibly. So what these guys in Silicon Valley have done is they have created, if we want to go back to World War II and to what was going on with the Third Reich, what were they using for managing their systems? They were using IBM, International Business Machine. They were using IBM technology to run the camps. We haven't gone too far away from that now, have we? We're still using this technology to run the future camps here. If everyone's critical of Israel and they get put on a list somewhere, what's the list used for? Monitor their social media? Listen to the podcasts that they're putting out? I mean, clearly, all of my friends are on the list, including me, right? Something I need to mention is that there's something called Section 212F of the Immigration Code. And this grants the president authority to restrict entry of foreign nationals deemed, quote, detrimental to U.S. interests. Now, this was used, this is what's being used currently to round up people under the catch and revoke program. But if you recall, back in 2017, it was used for the Muslim travel ban as well, when they tried to, when they rolled that out. So funny, it's always used against Muslims, but never against the Jews, huh? Interesting. Boy. So it must be a flaw in the system, right? I'm sure they'll get that figured out. Let's wrap up with this, because this is a huge component of it that I think that people are missing. And when we talk about the slippery slope, I mean, you have to understand that they can designate you as an enemy combatant on the battlefield, right? And we can thank the Patriot Act for this NKVD nonsense. This is the homeland, America as the homeland. Again, these aren't just terms. These are legal terms that they use. It means something more. It's not just a headline. It's not just somebody is critical of you and calls you a domestic terrorist or something like that. These are legal terms. So the homeland, you are in the homeland if you're in America, and the homeland has been designated as a battlefield. So you could be designated as an enemy combatant in the homeland, like a spy, which means that you don't have any rights. It means that you can be black bagged, like that grad student in Boston, dragged into a van, disappeared, because you aren't you. You aren't an American citizen who lives in wherever you live. You're an enemy combatant, a domestic terrorist, legally, in the homeland, on the battlefield. You're essentially a Soviet spy. And if you are that, and it's not up to you to decide whether you are that or not. It's up to the state to make that classification. But if they make that classification on you, go walk out your front door, go get in your car, go drive to work, bunch of vans pull up, boom, you're gone. Your wife calls, where are you? He tries to find, where is my husband? They don't have to tell you. You're not entitled to legal representation either. You're not some guy who got a DUI who has, you know, I want to talk to my lawyer. No. That ship has sailed. You're an enemy combatant on the battlefield, my friend. And what you said against Israel is enough to get you put in that situation. In this episode will get me flagged by the AI algorithm. But what am I going to do? Not talk about it? It's reality. It's the direction we're going, you know? We have to have this conversation now before it's too late. Maybe the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression would fight for me when I'm trying to show that AI is terrible at assessing nuanced issues like Israel and Palestine. They're trying as a group called FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. They're out there trying to help the people that are on the receiving end of this. They're saying, hey, whoa. Like, listen, you guys are using artificial intelligence to go through people's speech. And what we're trying to tell you is that though it has made impressive strides in technological advancements over the years, it still is not good enough to detect nuance in the discussion between, you know, and some, you know, very volatile topics such as Israel, Palestine, right? It's not good at picking up sarcasm, doesn't understand humor, doesn't understand how you can, you know, you're basically given a verbal eye roll. It doesn't pick that up. It just reads words. And you said this, so that means this. You know, and it starts with what's going on in college campuses. It moves to, we're going to put you on a list just because we're going to follow your social media just to make sure that you're not a dangerous, you know, a danger to the empire. And then let's say you are. Let's say that the algorithm takes it a step further and says, oh yeah, this person is talking mad shit about us. We have got to stop that. Well, then they can digitally debank you. It's easy. It happens all the time. And you know who's really good at it? PayPal. You know, like the PayPal mafia. Now, those guys have been gone from PayPal for 20 years, but the ideology is still there. The technological ability to cut somebody off is obviously there. And I could give you a list of a half dozen people I know who've had their PayPal accounts turned off. The former owners of Activist Post told me that when they got on the wrong side, when they started printing, you know, republishing articles as they do about what was going on, they didn't just lose their PayPal. Their spouses lost their PayPal as well. The people connected to them lost it as well. That's where this is going. So get some Bitcoin, put it on a cold wallet somewhere that they don't have control over. That is, if Coinbase doesn't lock you out of your account at the behest of the SEC, which they do and have done and will do. But you got to plan accordingly, man. You got to, if you're somebody that sees this, the direction that we're going, and is speaking out against it, you have to know that they're going to come for you at some point. Might not look like getting black bagged. It might be more subtle. It might be that they shadow ban you on social media and whatever, but it might be that they debank you as well. It's happening and has been happening for a while. This is the natural progression of it. Maybe the technocrats running the National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence are worth looking at. There's a group they're trying to put guardrails on it. They're trying to determine the limits of what is acceptable usage of artificial intelligence. Now, if you and I were doing it, we could probably come up with some reasonable restrictions to put on it. But I'm going to list the people that are in charge of this decision making, and I regret to inform you, it is not going to set your mind at ease. Speaking of, we just talked about Eric Schmidt, Google, Pentagon, Schmidt Ventures, deep state to his core. Safra Katz, CEO, co-CEO of Oracle, Israeli. Andy Jassy, Amazon CEO, stepped in when Bezos left. Robert Work, Deputy Secretary of Defense. So, you know, apologies if I don't get a warm, fuzzy feeling knowing that these are the people that are going to be in charge of artificial intelligence moving forward. The areas of interest that they're focusing on will scare the shit out of you as well. First and foremost, facial recognition. They're not saying that they're against it. They just want to make sure that they know how that that the guardrails that are put on it are put on by them and not somebody else. Smart cities, huge interest to them. This idea, and you know, smart cities take on a variety of different meanings. But ultimately, if you followed the technocracy movement, the idea of smart cities would be that they would put you in a position where it was AI government. It's not even that you can go down and protest about your local mayor, you know, making some ridiculous decision. It's not even going to be the mayor doing it. It's dictated by the computer, that the computer knows best. It's made all the calculations. It's thought of every angle, and it's come up with this, and this is the way we're doing it. They're interested in AI healthcare, which is terrifying. And lastly on their list, the war on cash. Get yourself some cash. Get your money out of the banks. Get as much of it out of the banks as you can. The banks are not your friends. The bail-in legislation is real. It's there for a reason. They're going to institute a bank bail-in. They're going to. I don't know how many times I need to scream this. I will continue to do it so that people make this move now. Now, while it's relatively normal. I feel crazy even saying that it's normal these days. But listen, you can go to the bank and there's a bank teller in there and you can tell them you want to withdraw money. If you ask them to withdraw too much, they'll give you a hard time. They'll push back. They'll ask you a million questions and then they'll tell you they don't have the cash there. So look, let's wrap up with this. I would be careful not to cheerlead this statist authoritarianism. Even if you agree with, you know, if you disagree with the protesters and agree that something needs to be done, be very careful about this because it will eventually be turned on you. You know, as they say, first they came for the, you know, the trade unionists, and I was not a trade unionist, you know, and all that. You know how it ends. And it could be tempting when you see horrible people getting rounded up and deported. It could be tempting to want to cheerlead that, but restrain yourself. Think of the bigger picture. Just remember who's really behind this so that you don't walk into one of their traps. Hey, if you like this episode, share it with those close to you. Rate the show if you think we've done a good job. Connect with me, macroaggressions.io. Check out activistpost.com and naturalblaze.com. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.
Want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Lost Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen. It's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Terms and conditions apply.